see the fun. I see the fun. The Diary of Jack Kirkman Podcast.
Hi. Episode 11 of I Seem Fun, the Diary of Jen Kirkman podcast. Hi, everybody. I'm in bed. Ah, I'm not in the mood to do this. But it's the last moment I can do it, or else this is going to be turned in late. It's not anything to do with you guys. I'm just not in the mood. Oh, no, my computer's frozen. I was going to look at some emails. All right. That's not a good way to start something. I cannot be in the mood, but I have to do it. I don't have to tell you guys that and get you guys down. But I just can't lie, you know. Nothing's wrong. It's just I'm not in the mood to do this right now. I'm actually already feeling better. That was cool how I said that, and then the computer made that sound. Not that cool. Ah. I hope everybody's watching Drunk History on Comedy Central on Tuesday nights. I think it's at 10 or maybe it's 11. I'm so sorry. You know how it is. You TiVo things or DVR or VHS them, and you don't have to know what time things are on anymore unless you're staying home and watching it. And maybe some of you are doing that. But I hope you're all watching. I know it's been very confusing for people. I answer the same question over and over on Twitter, and I am not, Drunk History is not my project. Derek Waters and Jeremy Connor, two friends of mine, started Drunk History. I've done two of them that have aired on the internet. I have done three total. My third one will air on Comedy Central on July 30th. It is the story of Mary Dyer, who was a rabble rouser back in the day for religious freedom from Boston. Now listen to me. That was the pilot episode of Drunk History. When people are like, you should be in it. I am in it. I was the first person they went to. My thing is part of what is what they showed to the executives and got the show picked up. Mine and this really funny guy, Chris Romano, and a bunch of other people that are from Boston that were in it. I'm not saying that was because of me. I am just saying when people go, you should do one, they thought of it. It has been done. We filmed it a year ago. It finally got onto TV. I know. But I thank you all for the career suggestions. I also know that I should do another book from you guys. I also know that maybe my book could be a TV show. You guys have thought of things that a comedian of 15 years would never have thought of. I thought I should work in a frozen yogurt shop. I'm being such a bitch. I'm sorry. See, I told you I kind of wasn't in the mood to talk to anybody right now. I didn't write anything like that. Is that about me? No. If you didn't write anything like that, then this isn't about you. I don't lump everyone in together. I'm talking to the few people that write me things that I'm like, what? I mean, I thought I had sophisticated followers. Of course I thought of these things. And I'm glad that everyone has such faith in me that they think if Jen thinks about having her own show, then she'll get one. That's just not how it works. I'm not sad about it. It's not bad or good. It's just, of course, every year comedians are doing things behind the scenes with their agents that push them into things. You know, you see our podcasts, you see our albums, you see our tours, you see us on TV shows here and there. We're always doing other stuff in the background, trying to get our own thing going. It's a small percentage that do, and it's not on your timetable or mine. It's on the Lord's and on Hollywood's. Anyway, but Drunk History, there are 8 episodes. Last week was the premiere. This week, by the time you hear this, it will have aired last night. 6 more to go. Mine airs on July 30th. They are all hilarious. What is not funny about drunk people trying to make sense when they are so drunk they can't even form words, and then famous actors lip-syncing it, and it's shot beautifully, and it's costumed beautifully, and it's just beautiful. The production value is insane. But again, it is not my project. I can't be in every episode. It wouldn't make sense because you don't repeat narrators in a season. So, and also I can't drink that way more than once every 2 years. So anyway, yes. And I know a lot of people, there should be more women in it. There's tons of women in it. Those episodes haven't aired yet, but there's tons of women narrators. It's all coming. It has all already been filmed. So any suggestions cannot be taken into consideration, but they actually have already happened. Anyway, everyone watch Drunk History. Comedy Central, Tuesday nights, 10 or 11, but one of those. I gave you enough information to find it, right? Okay. We're going to talk about teeth this week. Dentist teeth. I had a little vacation from work the past week. Hiatus, if you want to call it. That's what the show business people call time off from work. I'm on hiatus. That's like something you say so people know, oh, I'm not, I don't have a real job. I'm uncomfortable using that word because I feel like, I guess it's normal to say around LA, but otherwise, I'm on hiatus. Oh, what does that mean? Nothing. It means that we have 2 weeks off. I spent my 2 weeks off going to multiple dentist appointments. It was the only time I had to do a 5-hour dentist appointment. I had 7 teeth replaced. I know that makes me sound like a bruiser who's trolling in an alley and getting into fights, but this has been a long ongoing process, and I get your emails that my teeth are fucked up. I've received them. Thank you for pointing out that my 2 front teeth are bigger than the rest and that one of my teeth is crooked. I, believe it or not, am aware of it since I have to brush those suckers and look at them every day. And it has always, always bothered me. I've had Invisalign for 2 years because I guess I just wanted to get porcelain veneers. I'm like, let's do this. Let's cap them. I want to look like I have chiclets in my mouth. And they're like, no, you have to get Invisalign first or braces. And actually, when I had the consultation 2 years ago for the Invisalign, the lady at the dentist, she was being nice. But it's always like when I had no money to my name and I needed something done, they would act like, what? This root canal needs to happen today and it's $800. What? You don't have it? And I would be like, no, oh my God. But they'd already started drilling so far. You know, I remember 8 years ago, I had or 10 years ago, I had this cavity that they were drilling. And as they were drilling it, they were like, oh, we're going to need to do a root canal. I'm like, okay, should I schedule it? They're like, no, we have to do it now. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, but it's $800. I'm like, I don't have $800. And I'm like, you're talking with cotton in your mouth. The pain is intense. The nerve is exposed. I'm tearfully calling my mother. Can I borrow $800? I'll pay you back $15 a week. I mean, I was broke. But they acted, in my opinion, like, what? You're in your mid-20s trying to make it in show business. You don't have $800? No. Now that I'm an older woman, been working a while, I certainly can cough up some money for some dental stuff. When I went in for the consultation on the Invisalign, they're like, it's kind of expensive. I was like, I understand that I can pay for it. You might want to consider metal braces. I'm like, what am I, Marsha Brady? I'm not getting metal braces. A divorced woman. And by the way, enough with your comments. I honestly want to do like a mass exodus. Like, I feel like us comedians feel like we have to just take it. Oh, we're just so lucky to have fans. I don't care if I have 2 fans. I don't want anyone following me, Instagram, Twitter, all this nonsense that doesn't get who I am. I have made it's so easy to find out my thoughts on my own life, whether it's in my book or in my albums or in my tweets or my podcast or anything. I am not bitter about being divorced. I was not up and left by some man who done me wrong. I was a grown-up who decided with another person that we made a mistake and we legally had to extract ourselves. The only thing I'm bitter about is that the lawyers keep messing up the paperwork and I'm still not legally divorced. It's been 2 years. So if I wanted to get married again, I cannot. I don't, so I'm fine. But I can't wait to get that piece of paper so I can, girls' night, Vegas. It's official. I would never do that. But I am so, I took a picture, okay? You know those terrible things now, live, laugh, love? Have you seen that? It's either like, it's like, I always see the signs, live, laugh, love, like three painted signs. The word live is painted on one, laugh is painted on the other, love is painted on the other. People hang them in a row. It's just, it's tacky. I understand the sentiment. Hey, we should live and laugh and love. I don't even think you have to tell people to do that. We are, if we're alive, we're living. We're going to laugh. It's involuntary sometimes. And we're going to love. And it's not always up to us when we love or who we love or what we love, right? Maybe someone has no love. They don't have any romantic love, but they love their sister. Or they love their cat or they love their table tennis or air hockey machine. I don't know what people love. Some guy I just read fucked a raft, like an inflatable raft, and he can't stop. And I think he was arrested. I'm not sure why it's illegal to have sex with a raft. But you're not even going to be able to, we don't need to be told live, laugh, love. We just don't. And anyone who sees that and is like, oh my God, that's beautiful, I'm so inspired, is a dumb person, is a dummy whose brain, if that inspires you and moves you in any way, if you are like, oh, did you see this? Live, laugh, love. I forgot. I'm going to open my heart more. I need to laugh. It's trite. It's trite. So I took a picture of it. I was at I think I was getting a massage somewhere. I almost said a massage parlor, like I'm getting jerked off at the end of it or somewhere where there's like red lights with tassels, like lamps with tassels and old timey ladies like, hello, sugar. But I was just getting a massage at my physical therapy place. And I saw that in the bathroom and I took a picture of it and I put it on Instagram and I said, I hate this shit. Because I thought that would be kind of a funny juxtaposition. And also, I just wanted to say, I feel like this, it's just like keep calm and carry on. I think live, laugh, love is either the new keep calm and carry on. And I don't send me emails. Keep calm and carry on with something in England during one of the wars. I know. It was posters that were up in wartime. And then it's been reappropriated for stay calm at work, you know? So the boss is hassling you. Just stay calm, carry on, do your work. I know what it's from. I don't like all those sayings. It bothers me. So I put an Instagram, sick of this shit. This girl wrote, she's so bitter about her divorce. Oh yeah. Like I'm like if I was, I would ever fucking tell someone on Instagram. People can be cynical and smart, and it doesn't mean they're bitter about their divorce. It means as a creative person, I cannot stand when everybody loves the same saying and everybody just says the same thing. Live, laugh, love. Keep calm, carry on. Think of your own mantra or things to say. That's what I'm bitter about, is how boring things can be. She's bitter about a divorce. Where do you get that from? Where on earth have I ever said anything of that nature? Then you mustn't understand anything I'm about if you think that, young lady who wrote that on Instagram, who I blocked, by the way. She doesn't get me. She doesn't get to find out more because I gave her every opportunity. I'm trying to be a positive example for people who shouldn't feel bad about changing their mind about being married in their mid to late 30s. Nobody should be afraid to turn back to their families and someone else's family and say, sorry, we got to stop this ride. We fucked up. And nobody should be afraid. No one's ever going to love me again, or I'm gross. Just stop. Just move on. Move forward. Keep calm. Carry on. I couldn't be the least bitter person about the fact that I divorced. You don't know anything about my life. When people watch Louis C.K.'s, I forget one of his specials, but he's like, no good marriage ends in divorce. So if someone is divorced, be happy for them. The bitterness was during the marriage. The happiness is during the divorce. Nobody is bitter about a divorce unless someone left them. And even then, later you realize it was for the best, I hope. I don't mean to say nobody's bitter about a divorce. I'm sure some people were. And I'm certainly bitter about how hard it is to get one and how much craziness is involved in lawyers and all that. No offense to lawyers and all that. But that's not why I took a picture of a sign that said live, laugh, love. I was trying to be a comedian about it, going, this shit's trite, you guys. And I thought it would make other people laugh because I know there's like-minded people that are like, thank you. This stuff is annoying. My aunt has one. And that is how you pronounce that word. There's a U in it. It's not aunt. Aunt. Aunt is A-N-T. It's a type of bug or a comedian. Aunt, A-U-N-T, is your uncle's wife or your mother's sister, your father's sister. I wonder how many people have turned this off because they're like, she's being a bitch this week. Must be her period. No, it's not even PMS or my period. I'm just, you know what it is? I'm cranky because my vacation's over. I'm cranky. I could do nothing and never be bored. I hate when people are like, well, I love structure. I don't. I'm good at it. I don't love it. I'm like a beach witch. I just want to be sandy and dirty and not comb my hair and not wear shoes. I haven't worn normal clothes in 2 weeks. I had a bathing suit on every day with like flowy beach pants or some kind of throw-on dress. That's it. And now I don't even know how to get dressed anymore and go to work. It's like having 2 weeks off completely threw me for a loop. Anyway, so I spent my vacation going to the dentist. Okay, yeah, so years ago, I had to get the braces. And so, yeah, so that's what I was saying is when I had no money, I feel like my dentist and orthodontist was acting like, what? And then when I actually can afford a procedure now, they're like trying to talk me out of it. They're like, oh, I have to get those metal braces. And I'm like, I had them when I was 11. By the way, no one tells you this, but your teeth change again 25 years later. So this tooth that my grandmother had, and she's now dead, so it's probably, I don't know if it's decomposed yet. It's been how long since she died? A year and a half. I don't know the rate of teeth decomposition. I could find out. I'm sure someone will email me. But we called it Nana Tooth because it was this tooth next to her big tooth on the left side that just decided to start growing straight out of her mouth. And mine is starting to do that. So I had to get the Invisalign, which, by the way, if you don't wear it 21 hours a day, every day, people notice you have it in your mouth. It fits right snug up against your teeth and people really can't tell until you stop wearing it and just start wearing it to bed like I was doing, which isn't enough time. And then slowly you start to see that it's not fitting quite right in your mouth. So you can tell that there's something plastic over your teeth. I just couldn't wear it. I'm always nibbling at something or I'd forget it at home because it's invisible. The only place it's not invisible is in your mouth. Everywhere else you put it down, you can't find it. I have spent probably 36 hours straight, if you totaled up all the minutes, looking for my Invisalign. I always break the case. I drop it on the floor so I can't even carry it in the case. I was a really bad patient. I should have been done with the Invisalign in 14 months. It took me 2 years and the tooth still didn't even move all that much, but they said it moved enough where I could get the porcelain veneers. So I went and did an appointment and I had to get the temporary. So now I have a temporary 7 teeth in my top mouth. What do you call that? Top shelf? Top row? I don't know. And next week, a week from today, I will go, they will undo the cement they cemented and then put 7 individual porcelain crowns over my what were shaved down to nubs teeth. Why? I still don't understand. They've explained it to me 50 times why when they took the molds of my teeth, they couldn't just make the, why there is this temporary process. I don't know. I mean, I kind of get it. Who cares? It doesn't matter. It's not up to me anyway, right? But it actually wasn't a scary appointment. I am not afraid of pain as much as I am being uncomfortable. Like, I hate that feeling where I can't swallow. I know they're suctioning all the spit out, but I want my muscles in my throat to make that feeling. If you don't do that, you don't realize you're doing that every 3 minutes or so. If you don't do that for 4 hours, that's how long my appointment was, 4.5 hours, 5 hours. That would make me insane. And they're always spraying the water. I know this is nothing new. People have talked about the dentist, but I'm confused why the hygienist sprays the water down your throat and acts like, what? That is the most comfortable thing you could do. It's like, you don't need to spray water. Just suck up the water my mouth is already making. Now you're trying to catch up. I know. Please don't nobody email me. Well, actually, you get dry and they have to. I know. But I find it very weird that they are aiming a thing spritzing water like at your gag reflex. And then when you flinch, they're like, it's okay. No, it's not. I'm choking. I'm drowning. It feels like waterboarding. That's why waterboarding is called torture, because you feel like you're drowning, but you're not. So anyway, but this appointment actually turned out great, but they had no way to explain it to me beforehand that it was going to be great. I didn't have to hold my own mouth open. They have these little blocks, like, you know, when you're in yoga class and you can't reach the floor and your teacher comes around, do you need a block? I hate when they do that when you don't need one. I'm like, no, I don't. Why do I look terrible doing this pose? I don't need a block. Go. Do you need a block? They put little blocks in my mouth to hold it open so I didn't have to use my own jaw strength for 5 hours. They let me keep reapplying lip balm so my lips didn't dry out. They had my neck at a great angle with a pillow so that I didn't feel like I was like, oh. And I was able, because of the angle of my neck, to do that reflex where I felt like I was in control of swallowing. So as long as all that's going on, I was happy as a clam. But I took a lot of Klonopin before the appointment because I wasn't sure how anxious I would feel. It turns out I probably took 2 more pills than I needed to. And it kind of ruined the rest of my day and night. I was bumping into things around my apartment and falling asleep. But it turned out great. But here's what I don't understand. As you hear about all these stories now, I know I'm not a celebrity, but you hear about these Hollywood doctors and dentists, and Michael Jackson would go under anesthesia just to get his eyebrows waxed. And one of the options when I filled out the forms to get this procedure was optional things that would not be frowned upon. Laughing gas, anesthesia, Twilight. And I'm like, not the movie, the level of anesthesia you can go under. I go, so I could go under for this? And they're like, yeah. And I go, well, what are my options? And they're like, don't do it. And I go, why? And they go, you don't need to. It doesn't hurt. I go, well, I don't really. First of all, prove to me it doesn't hurt. But B, so what, it doesn't hurt? Who doesn't want to go under anesthesia just for the afternoon, right? Or get some kind of laughing gas or whatever. And they're like, no, you don't need it. Just Novocaine is fine. And I go, but what if the Novocaine doesn't work? They go, we'll add more. So they want you to, they're telling you, yeah, we might not give you enough Novocaine. So there could be a moment where you feel such extreme pain that it zaps you like a memory and gets imprinted on your DNA. And you'll have nightmares. But we will give you more local Novocaine after that. So you're kind of always gripping yourself. Like, is the Novocaine wearing off? Is the Novocaine wearing off? That's why I took the Klonopin, so I wouldn't think about that. But they said I didn't need to go under. But I'm like, how do other people get to do this? Where do these other people get their addictions from? Oh, my doctor, my back slipped and my doctor gave me pills and I got re-addicted. I've never gotten a pill in my life. I've never tried, but I've had my back go out completely where I couldn't even drive. And I had to have someone take me to the doctor. And she said, what's going on for you emotionally? I'm like, are you effing kidding me right now? I know that backs. I've read the Dr. John Sarno book, Sarno. I know. I'm a convert. I listen to Howard Stern. I looked the book before Howard even talked about it or before I heard him talk about it. I get it. But in the moment, you're like, all right, let's deal with the emotional stuff later, but give me some kind of pill so my back can release. I never seem to run into these doctors who prescribe anything. I'm like, I'm not even like an addictive personality, so I'm the perfect person to just give one pill to. Just let a girl relax for a day. I never seem to get that. So that's why I took the, you know, my own pills into my own hands. But then the doctor said, when it was done, I said, this really hurts. I feel like the Novocaine has worn off. And as they were trying to fit the crown, temporary crown, he goes, yeah, it's pretty much worn off by now. Let me give you 3 Advil. So I said, all right. He said, let me know if that works. He said, you can take 3 Advil every 6 hours. I go, great. So I take 3 Advil at 6. The appointment goes on till 7. I go, it still hurts as much as it did an hour ago. He goes, well, you can take 3 more at midnight. I go, oh, goody. So I can sit here for 5 hours in complete pain, even more later as the anesthesia wears up. Not anesthesia. Novocaine wears up. And they go, yeah, well, you know. And I go, is there any painkiller I can get? They're like, no. What, that's not true. No, you have a degree on the wall. You can prescribe a painkiller. You don't need it. Yes, I do. But it turns out I didn't. I was fine by the time I went home. And I wasn't up until midnight anyway. I just fell asleep. I woke up the next morning and hurt a little bit, but that was it. I mean, I guess they do know what they're talking about, but I'm going to tell you how my teeth got messed up. First of all, I love my dentist's office because they play I Love Lucy reruns and they play Dean Martin roasts in the lobby, in the waiting room, which I'm sure is a deliberate, like, get people laughing, get their mind off what's happening. I love it. But it doesn't work for someone like me because I love old-timey comedy so much. I'm not actually a big I Love Lucy fan anymore. I was when I was little. I feel like that stuff, unless you saw it as an adult and laughed at it, like my mom still thinks I Love Lucy is hilarious. Oh my God, when Lucy was putting the chocolates in her mouth. I mean, she laughs like she's having an asthma attack when she even thinks about it. I loved that stuff when I was a kid. It doesn't hold up for me now anymore at all. But I understand great physical comedy when you see it. And I love, 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 love on sitcoms when they have the time to keep dragging out a moment and the audience is laughing and you just keep going until you can't go no more. But I Love Lucy doesn't hold up for me. But I do love, oh shit, I totally forgot my point. I do love old-timey comedy. Like the Dean Martin roast, Don Rickles, anything Frank Sinatra. You know, you had like the Palm Springs elite, you know, like the Reagans and Frank Sinatra and all those broths and, you know, everybody on those Dean Martin roasts. It was great. I loved it. Everybody's sitting there smoking, tuxedos, nice outfits. Everyone in with a pinky ring and a glass of something. You know, now comedians, it's a Comedy Central roast and 5 people get up and deliver their jokes to the camera instead of to the dais. And it's like you get roasted by people that you've never even met. But they're the hot comedian in the moment and they can tell a joke. But that's not a roast. A roast should be, I'm looking in from the outside. Like I'm looking at Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Suzanne Summers, Ronald Reagan, Nancy Reagan. I'm looking at all these people that I know are partying together on weekends in Palm Springs. I know after that roast ended, it wasn't just like cut. It was like the party went on all night. I mean, yes, somebody did yell cut, but the party went on all night. All weekend. This craziness was going on. At the end of a Comedy Central roast, they say cut. Everyone goes back to their dressing room, talks to their agent. The person getting roasted is secretly very offended because they're like, I can't believe these young punks just roasted me, but I have no choice because I need a comeback. Then you're roasting people that, well, I mean, I guess back then they roasted people that weren't comedians. They roasted, you know, they made jokes about some of the other people there. But, you know, you get like the Pam Anderson roast. Like, it's not the same anymore. And not that it should be, but I kind of think it should be. So I sit there getting stressed out, bummed that my generation's roasts are so lame. And that is not to offend any of my friends who are, of course, very competent and very funny on the roasts. But, you know, it's like, do you have to, can you, why are you wearing a t-shirt? Don't wear a t-shirt on TV. Don't wear a t-shirt on TV. Roasts should be tuxedos and gowns. It should be like the Oscars for comedians because comedians are never going to go to the Oscars. And if they are, then they're not comedians anymore. That's what happens. You win an Oscar, you get very serious. You don't usually go back to stand-up. And then if you do, it seems sad. Man, I did have a point about the comedy playing in the lobby. Like, I remember thinking, well, I can go up on this track for a minute. But anyway, I'm going to tell you how my teeth got so messed up in the first place. I have bad luck with my front teeth. When I was little, I had the space between my teeth. It wasn't too big. And the doctor corrected it when I was in sixth grade. And then Madonna made it cool. Now, Madonna was already around, but she wasn't going anywhere by the time I was in sixth grade. It was getting cooler and more glamorous looking, that Gap. And I was like, damn, I want my Gap back. I think it looks cool. But what happened to me in kindergarten, I'm on the bus. This girl that lives down the street, she gets on the bus. For no reason. She's not a bully. We're not in different social circles. I don't know what was up with her that day. But she got on the bus and goes, I want to sit here. And all I remember is almost like a punch from like a clown in one of those boxes that you wind up, Jack in the Box. It was just like punch. Just came straight at me. Punch. Probably with no weight behind it. I mean, this was a five-year-old punching another five-year-old, but she just went, I'm sitting here, and punched me, and my teeth fell out before their time. This was, you know, they were baby teeth, but they weren't loose. So they fell out, and they grew in like two rabbit teeth, like buh, 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 buh. They grew back in so big, and then I had that gap. The teeth next to my front teeth were so much shorter, not only because those front teeth were so big, but the other ones just grew in short. And then my canine were pointy like a Dracula. And I've always had this lisp that's like sort of an inside lisp because my teeth are so big, my tongue can't even do what it's supposed to do when I say an S. It's not supposed to be like F, but it's not supposed to be like ish. Well, I never had that, but I had this sort of in-between thing, which I think I might still have. I'm not sure. So my teeth were all jacked. So then I got the braces. Then, no, I'm sorry. I didn't get the braces yet. So my teeth were all jacked up. Then third grade, I'm riding bikes in my backyard on the cement with my friend Meredith, 8 years old. I still have training wheels, by the way. I don't know why my parents would not take my training wheels off. No, sorry. My training wheels came off when I was 8. So this was one of the first times I was riding without them. And we were riding around in circles on our little Huffies or Schwinn's. And there was a bee around my ankle. My God-fearing fear has always been bees. I got stung once. I sat on one and I got really dizzy and almost passed out. I don't think I'm allergic to bee stings because nothing bad happened after that. It just sucked. It kind of was awesome. You ever have that moment? You can have it as an adult too, where you're just kind of glad something bad happened so you can just lay down. It was just like, I sat on a hornet or a bee. It stung my ass so bad. I felt dizzy. Then I felt an adrenaline rush. That kind of freaked me out. And then I just felt sore. And then I just got to lay inside and have popsicles and have the fan on me and watch, you know, reruns of TV shows all day and sit on ice. And I was like, you know what? It's kind of an awesome day. Even though I'm 8 years old, it's summertime. I didn't feel like being a kid today. I'm enjoying sitting with ice on my ass. I just feel like it. I'm glad I have this excuse to act like I'm 70 today. So, riding my bike with Meredith, a bee is chasing me around the ankle and I'm afraid and I just slip and I fall over my handlebars because I'm trying to get away from the bee. And my sister Gail makes fun of me to this day. Remember when you're trying to get away from a bee? Yeah, who wouldn't try to get away from a bee? Who's like, you know what? I'm going to sit here and let a bee crawl over me. No matter how many times people tell you to sit still when a bee is near you, I don't think that is anyone's natural reaction. No. Sit there. A bee is coming. Let it sniff you. Then what? What if it sniffs me and thinks I'm a flower and it stings me? I can out-bike a bee. And I would have had I not slipped and tripped, missed the pedal somehow, and I flipped over the handlebars, landed on my two front teeth that had already grown in weird, that had already been punched out when I was 5. And I went inside the house. He rushed me to the dentist. My face was all jacked up, scraped down the nose, bloody lip, bloody chin. My chin was mush. My chin was just skin all ripped off. My chin looked like tapioca pudding that had been left out. like moldy. My chin was moldy. And my two front teeth turned black because they died. I had two black teeth, like when you put crayons on them when you're a pirate for Halloween. The nerves died in my teeth. My teeth have been dead for 30 years. My teeth have been dead for 30 years. So we got bonding. I don't know why, if that was the best they could do back then, but the color was always off. And you could never, ever, ever bleach them because it wouldn't bleach. So for years, I would get my teeth whitened or use Crest white strips or whatever. And the color in the two front teeth was the same color. It would not go down. After years of drinking coffee and smoking and cigarettes and whatever and red wine and blah, 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 and tomato sauce, the rest of my teeth, I got them professionally white and stayed white. Those two didn't. They were always a little duller color. So after that bonding, my teeth died. I mean, so my teeth were dead. I got the bonding. They never lightened up. I have been walking around in my 30s, even on someone on TV with two darker front teeth. It has bothered me forever. Then she's bitter about divorce. Look what she's about to say. The night before my wedding, I must have been nervous. I woke up on my wedding day and my front tooth was chipped. It was completely chipped in half, like half my tooth was gone at the bottom. I had just grinded it down in my sleep, ground it down. I know you can't do that overnight, but I must have done something and it cracked. The bonding cracked. So my wedding day, I was holding my lips a certain way so that it didn't look like, why is this pirate getting married with a broken tooth? And then you go on the honeymoon, you know, you take a week off work, special week to go on your honeymoon. And you get back and you can't be like, I have to go get a new tooth. So I had to have a chipped tooth for a while. I'm like, you know what? I just need to take all my teeth out and put fake ones in. Just please take the teeth out. So I've been waiting for years for this. And now I am only a week away from the beautiful porcelain individual teeth. My parents have always made me, we had this dentist who retired when I was 7. I remember my parents acting like it was a personal affront. He retired when we've been going to him forever. I know, but mommy's 70. He can't see anymore. His hands are shaking. Let the man retire. It's not because he doesn't like us. So we got this new dentist who's still my dentist. I talked about him in episode 2 or 3 or I don't know what. I mean, he's not still my dentist, but he's still the family dentist. He's still, you know, around. And he was Mr. Modern. You know, we got to do fluoride treatments. And my mother was like, we're not doing that. They're trying to get more money out of us. As long as you brush your teeth, it's fine. I'm not sure if she was right. Because I've always seemed to have weak, weird teeth. Maybe I needed those fluoride treatments when I was a kid. Anyway. I like my dentist now. He's a nice guy. One day he just started talking and was telling me that he's a vegan, like lefty radical. And I was like, oh, I never even thought about what my dentist's personal beliefs were. And he wasn't, you know, I don't know how it came up, but he just said something one day and I was like, all right, thank you, sir. And then we kept going. But I always think about that when I see him and I wonder if he remembers telling me that. Not that it's like some bad thing. I'm, you know, I'm not a vegan, but I don't eat certain kinds of meat, and I'm a hippie. So, not a hippie, but you know what I mean. I don't know what my point was about that. I do remember years ago when I was getting my root canal, they had this annoying hygienist. He was a man, and he kept going, he was of a Persian persuasion, and he kept going, why no men here for you? Because, you know, when you get something like that, they say for someone to drive you. And I was like, well, no one's driving me because that, well, I wasn't going under for the root canal. It was just Novocaine, but oh, that's what it was, is I was just crying because I was nervous. And he was kind of calming me down and petting my hand. He's like, how come your man isn't here? There wasn't a man at the time. But even if there was, how many, have you ever seen a woman bring her boyfriend into the dentist's office and he sits there? Where would he sit? Next to the hygienist, next to the doctor drilling? And what would he do? Just what? Finger me in a chair to relax me. I mean, there's nothing that a boyfriend could have done. You know, I would have seen him later at home or to pick me up. We'll go to a movie. Why isn't your man here? I hate that. I really don't feel like I have anything to say this week, but I guess I've been talking for 39 minutes. I know I am testy and angry this week. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm just, there really is a thing called summer brain, and I think I have it. So that's what's going on. I'm pretty excited about my new teeth. Let's go to the emails. Let's go to people who like to tell me what they think is fun. Well, all right. So there's two things. I have an email account here. iseemfun@gmail.com. At the end of every episode, I like to read a couple emails from listeners. I've asked people to email me things that they think are fun that no one else does, or things that are universally seem fun for everyone, but nobody understands why everyone likes to do it. So I will read a few of those now. But before I do, I want you all to go to jenkirkman.com. That is my website. I do not have advertising on this podcast. You will not hear an audible.com ad. You will not hear it. But a great way to support me and the people who help me with this podcast is to buy my comedy albums. They are old. I don't know if a lot of the material holds up or if most of it isn't true anymore, but I still think they're funny. Maybe you'll like them. Go to my website, jenkirkman.com. Go under merch. You can buy my two comedy albums. Go to book. You can buy my book. You can buy a hardcover version, Kindle, or audiobook version. All the different information is on there. People are still tweeting me, I can't find your book anywhere. I don't know what that means. It might not be in your local bookstore. Here's what you can do. You can go to your bookstore. If they don't have my book, you can ask them if they can order it, and they will tell you yes or no. It is always, always, always on Amazon.com. Always. It's on BarnesandNoble.com. It's on PowellBooks.com. Just find it. I don't know what else to tell you. And I have dates coming up. I'm at the Montreal Comedy Festival doing a solo one-woman show on July 8th? 6th? 7th? 8th? I don't know. It's on my website. Go to that, please. Austin, I am coming September 14th, the Scottish Rite Theater. I need 300 people there or else it will be a bust. I will be signing books after selling books after taking pictures, doing my show. Please come. Please come. Just one night. This was a specific request from Twitter people. I obeyed it. Make me proud. Don't make me look dumb. Okay. All right. Someone writes me, you asked for submissions for your podcast about what people found fun. The last thing I found truly without a doubt fun was the last time I went to San Francisco and tried to find the best way and best place to climb out onto the Golden Gate Bridge. I think about it every day. That's how much fun I found it. But I can't tell anyone that something like that is fun to me because they wouldn't get it. So I'm telling you just so I can tell someone. Okay. Is that legal to climb? The last thing, I went to San Francisco and tried to find the best way and place to climb out onto the Golden Gate Bridge. I don't know what that means. So you're on the ground and you're trying to climb up the side of the bridge. So I'm assuming you did not do this because I don't think that's legal. So you just had fun standing under the bridge, figuring out how you would climb up it. Climb out onto the Golden Gate Bridge. Or maybe you were standing on the bridge and you wanted to climb out and hold the side of it like you're a woman and Godzilla's about to pick you up. Please don't tell me it's because you were jumping off a bridge. Like that, I assume all of this is illegal. I assume all of this is illegal. But I enjoy that the fun activity was not even accomplishing this thing. It was thinking about how to climb out onto the Golden Gate Bridge. Because that's something that you can think about and have fun every day. Like, you didn't even need to be in San Francisco for that if that's all you were going to do for fun, is think about ways to climb out onto a bridge. But I think that shows, I don't know, maybe you're an engineer at heart. I think you can tell people that. I think I think anytime you talk to people about how much fun it is to climb on a bridge, I think people worry. I think people are like, excuse me? Because I know that is, first of all, bridges are not my cup of tea. I don't like driving over them. I close my eyes. Not when I'm like, if someone's driving me. But I have when I'm driving somewhere, if I did not know a bridge was coming, I'm talking like a huge long bridge, like a crazy ass. There's one in San Diego that is at least a mile long, and it is so high up, you would never, ever survive if your car fell off it. I honestly think it is higher up than the Golden Gate Bridge, because the Golden Gate Bridge has those big, long, like, points at the top, but the actual stretch of road is relatively close to the water. This bridge in San Diego is so high up, and I have heard that that bridge can be exploded at any minute because it's the thing that, because San Diego is such a big military town that it could, if they needed to close it off like an island for safety, they could blow it up. So of course someone told me that right before I went over that bridge once, and I almost had a nervous breakdown. Bridges are actually really safe. The structures are more safe than your apartment. So my dad's F. Scott Fitzgerald and an engineer. Oh, great. Thanks for the correction. I guess my neurotic rant. Maybe I should go back and delete this episode after you send me that email explaining how a bridge works. What if that was all that happened in life? It's just you corrected comedians so much that they just, everyone lost their will to talk. That's what's going to happen soon if you people don't cut the shit. People are still correcting me about the dovetail episode. I knew what it was. I was being funny. I was saying I still don't understand why people use it, how it got its start in comedy writing rooms. How can you listen to this podcast and still send me corrections? Unless you're trying to make me lose my mind. Maybe that's what's fun for you. John says, hi, Jen. Love your podcasts. I enjoy listening to them a little at a time over the week between the drop day and sometimes going back to the older ones. Anyway, they're great. Keep up the good work and sing more. I didn't sing this time. What could I sing for John from New Jersey? Is there any songs about teeth? Grinding your teeth. Ain't nothing wrong with a little bump and grind. Is that a song? How was that for? I did some singing for you, John. My fun moment. Personal relaxation procedure, such as massages. A jacuzzi tub. Don't write jacuzzi tub. That sounds disgusting. A hot tub. Or a tub with jets. A jacuzzi. All I see is, you can't spell jacuzzi without the word jizz. Don't say jacuzzi. Don't write it in an email so that I'm forced to say it out loud. And foot rubs. I have gone to a chiropractor once a month for many years as I had some lower back issues due to my job. Hang on, I'm falling asleep. And when I leave, I feel great. I can never understand how people can say, ew, I don't want anyone touching my feet or putting their hands on me. Well, you've never been a woman. Sounds to me like they have unresolved issues when they say things like that. Those things make you feel great. That is true. I love a massage. I don't get when people feel self-conscious. I'm like, I'm asking. It's like a supermodel is massaging you. It's always like some short, stout person with hairy knuckles sometimes. Well, that's gross. I could understand why you don't want them touching you. But I don't, like, if to get the best massage, you have to lay there naked. They're not, no one is like judging your body. And if they are, you know, you'll never know. It's not like they're going to say to you, hey, you could lose 5 in the ass. I don't actually like people touching my feet only because sometimes I get ticklish, and also I just don't have that ooh, ah thing with feet. It doesn't do me either way. So I'm just like, hurry it up. When I get a pedicure, I'm like, let's go. Polish. Don't care about the foot rub part. Please. You want extra massage? No. And everyone looks so sad. I'm like, I'll tip well. Don't worry about it. I don't want extra massage. I want extra time in my day. All right. Unfun moment. This is still John G. from New Jersey. Unfun moment. My friends who think that a movie that stars actors such as Ben Stiller, Adam Sandler, or Jim Carrey are automatically bust a gut funny. Well, I think that you're wrong. I think all those movies with Ben Stiller, Adam Sandler, and Jim Carrey are always automatically funny. And I am not just saying that so that I won't blacklist myself in Hollywood. Sir, I think you are wrong. I'm just kidding. Okay, so another movie where someone gets kicked in the nuts, slides down a rail, and crashes at the end are worth watching. Didn't the Stooges or the Marx Brothers do it best and like 60 plus years ago? All right, listen. I never want to be told that I can't say what I'm saying because someone already said it 60 years ago. It's the way that Adam Sandler slides down a rail. Different than Chico, Harpo, or Groucho. Actually, Chico was his own. He was like the Andy Gibb, but he wasn't in the Marx Brothers. Shut up. But I understand the sentiment. But what is new? Comedy is recycling. People aren't going to go to their local. People can't even find my book. And they go to my Twitter page to tell me they can't find my book. On that page is a link to where to buy it. You think these fucking dumbasses are going to know what anything from 60 years ago is? So that you got to make a new movie where people's nuts get torn up. Because they're not going to go back and watch a Marx Brothers movie. And people are going to walk around this earth not watching movies about people's balls getting hurt. So you got to keep it fresh. Someone makes a stupid face. The loser ends up with a hot girl. So typical and predictable, just not funny. And yet the masses flock to them. Amazes me. Well, sir, sometimes it's just all about the air conditioning in the summer. I hope I didn't explain too long and get slammed for it on your podcast. But then again, if I did, who cares, right? And the only bad press is no press. Perhaps said by someone who has not gotten bad press. I don't know about that. I am not sure about that. Take care. Thank you, John. That was a lovely email. And you know what? I'm going to talk about this next time or one other time. There's a new phenomenon of men coming to mani-pedi places, manicure places. You guys are not you, John, but you guys are, you can't change the culture unless you want to start a men's only salon. But I'm going to talk about that another time. You guys are fucking ruining it for us, ladies. Anyway, but I appreciate that men are paying attention to their nails. There's nothing worse than looking at dirty fingernails. There's nothing worse than feeling a sharp toenail in your leg. When would that happen? That's my mother calling me. What? Sarah writes me, completely agree with your thoughts on Las Vegas, dog ownership, and coconuts. Can we add steak and two tall submarine sandwiches to the coconut category? Too much work. I agree. I don't eat meat. I eat fish, but I don't eat steak. I don't eat chicken. I don't eat whatever. It's too much work, and I never found it good. I always found it felt like I was chewing leather, because I am, and flesh. And I'm not judging it. It just isn't too much for me. Also, what are your thoughts on three-ring circuses? I'm always worried somebody's going to fall down and die. Plus, I don't like having to choose which of the rings I should be looking at. Too many rings. Love your podcast. I actually don't know what a three-ring circus is. Don't email me. I've seen a circus, I think, when I was a kid. I went to Barnum and Bailey's. But are people on rings? So three rings and people are flipping around? I don't know. I actually don't think I have that same anxiety. I might just not enjoy a circus because I don't care, but I don't have the anxiety. Like, I went to see Cirque du Soleil in Vegas. I know I said I don't like Vegas, but I happen to go a lot because of work, and my parents go sometimes and I visit them. So, you know, I make myself happy when I'm there. I saw Elvis Cirque du Soleil, and I didn't worry if anyone was going to fall and die, but they probably could have because they were, you know, flipping and whipping around, but I didn't think about it. Samantha writes, I hate it when my extended family comes to visit. I'm 21 and living with my parents for the summer until I go back to school. My mother's family thinks it's fun to stop by at random moments without notice. They bring my younger cousins along and think just because I don't have a job or a love life, I would love to babysit their children while they go have adult fun. I would be thrilled to watch them if the awkwardness wasn't crippling because I have no idea how to talk or act around kids. I just wish my aunts and uncles would realize that their children and I aren't benefiting from this vacation. Dude, if there was ever a reason to get a job, it's this. Get a job. Why don't you have a job? I've had a job since I was 14. I've had two jobs. Since beginning at age 14, actually beginning at age 12, I was a babysitter. Then I was a waitress at the Needham Golf Club. I worked at Baskin Robbins Ice Cream. I worked at Roach Brothers grocery store as a cashier. In college, I worked at the box office at the school theater. I worked as a work study program at the library, and I had a summer waitressing job at the Needham Golf Club. And I worked at night at Blue Man Group. I had four jobs in college. I always worked. You got to get a job, Samantha. That is, I love life. You will meet someone at one of your jobs. If you just get one. You don't have to get four like I did. I was crazy. But just get one. Please don't write me back and be like, I'm also a paraplegic and that's why I can't work. Because I'll feel bad. Oh boy, this one's going to make me sad. All right, this is the last one. This is from Ted. Or no, Tom, sorry. His email's Ted, but his name is Tom. Hi, Jen. One of my favorite hobbies is to buy and listen to records. I have always been a fan of classic rock and older music and never really got into newer music, mostly because I just like the older stuff more. Now, I wonder what he means by classic rock because Nirvana is now on classic rock radio. When I was growing up, classic rock was Aerosmith, Led Zeppelin, The Who, The Beatles. Now it is all that plus Nirvana, Smashing Pumpkins, Pearl Jam. It's very strange. As a college student, okay, so I bet it, yeah. I have a lot of friends who like new music and sort of write off older stuff, and they don't really understand why I like buying and listening to records. Some girl I know tried to play me a Black Keys song, and they're great. But I said, that's Well, Well, Well by John Lennon. Go listen to Well, Well, Well by John Lennon, and then tell me if you can't listen to that Black Keys song again without thinking of it, and Well, Well, Well is a better song. Sorry to the Black Keys if they're listening. Sometimes my friends are embarrassed for me that I like, quote, dad rock. Oy. But I will defend bands like The Who and The Kinks when stuff like Lady Gaga, that's all I could think of, is popular. Who doesn't like The Who? Oh, someone told me once, they sold out with that car commercial. No, they didn't. The songs existed for 30 years. They let it be used in an ad. That's not selling out. So stop worrying about who sold out and who didn't, you young twits. Or old twits, any twit, any pretentious person, that's selling out. Oh, you try feeding yourself after you're just tired. And, you know, if I could sell out, if somehow Cadillac wanted to use my comedy album as background music and was going to pay me Walk Away From It All money, $20 million, you bet I'm selling out. At the end of the day, all I want is a few friends that want to hang out and enjoy listening to my records with me. Love the podcast and thanks for reading. I like his confidence. He assumed I was going to read it. Tom, P.S. Since none of my friends really care, I figured I'd tell you. The thing I'm most proud of is having every Linda Ronstadt record from hand-sewn homegrown to Get Closer. That's her first 11. I don't know what that means. I actually don't know any of her records. I'm sure I know a Linda Ronstadt song, like, but I don't recognize these album titles. And I never searched for them. They kind of just fell into my lap. I'm unclear how that could happen. But so if you like Linda Ronstadt and are ever in the Pittsburgh area and want to listen to Linda Ronstadt, email me. Oh, he writes, I'm kidding. Okay. Thank you for that. I would have just had a nervous breakdown. Because you understand how it is, Tom. I'm sure you're great, but I'm not going to go to a guy I don't know's house and listen to Linda Ronstadt records. You know? I wouldn't even go to a guy I know's house and listen to Linda Ronstadt records. But nothing against Linda, but you know, girls sometimes just want to make sure they're safe. Anyway, this probably makes me seem like a maniac, but I'm proud of my records. Sorry for the length of the email. You guys, stop apologizing. This is the stuff I wanted to hear. I love things that just make people happy that aren't typical. I mean, imagine if on your deathbed you're like, you know what made me happy? Drinking out of a red cup, plastic cup, boobs, Rihanna songs, and, you know, blockbuster movies. You have no soul or taste. You can like all that stuff, but if that's all you know and you don't have a little Linda Ronstadt in you, I feel bad for those people. The way that people feel bad for me for not having kids who insist that my life isn't fulfilled. I think your life isn't fulfilled if you like anything that can be found in the top 10 of any category. Anyway. See, I'm in a good mood, but you're not going to know it because now I have to sign off. But I love reading these emails, so keep them coming. iseemfun@gmail.com. I'm not trying to make fun of them. I don't read them first. I just kind of scroll through as I'm sitting here and just randomly click them. And I never do it with the intention of shitting on you guys. I am just, it's my natural reaction to reading something and I'm just trying to make it interesting. Not that your emails aren't interesting on their own, but you know what I mean. I'm just goofing around. So I hope nobody ever feels offended. I think everyone's little things they do, and that sounded condescending, You can't put little in front of anything. That little thing you do, is so, that must be fun for you. All right, you guys are awesome. Everyone, take care of your teeth. Don't be ashamed to run away from bees. Oh, my whole point to that bee story, by the way, was I couldn't eat solid food for like a month, and I was already an underweight kid. After my teeth died and my chin looked like tapioca pudding, I was already an underweight kid, and I couldn't eat solid food for a long time, and I would just eat yogurt and stuff in school. And my teacher, Miss Ross, used to call me Jenny. Jenny! She wanted to make me feel good, so she would let me do things that actually make you more of a dork, like stay after and help her grade papers and weird shit like that. So one day I was there, and this kid, Scott, was in the little cubby area, and he goes, Jen used to be so cute, but ever since she fell on her teeth, she's so ugly. I could hear him saying that. And it hurt my feelings so much, and I hear that in my head when I used to look at my old teeth before I got them all filed down last week. But actually, then in fifth grade, Scott asked me out on the playground. He bought me a wooden little dog. And on the inside of his stomach was a digital clock. And he just gave it to me because I think he actually liked me. And now I realize in third grade, he always liked me. I fell on my face. It freaked him out. People were probably making fun of me. I didn't hear the beginning of the conversation. He probably was contributing to it as best he could, but wanted to say something nice. I used to think she was cute, but yeah, now she's ugly. I realized that. He was giving into peer pressure. I think he still liked me. And 2 years later in fifth grade, he came up to me on the playground and handed me the clock, and I punched him in the mouth. I punched him in the mouth just like I got punched in the mouth when I was five. I punched a boy in the face for giving me a gift. I don't want anyone to be afraid to give me a gift. I have since stopped punching people. But I think what I was trying to say to Scott was, really, dude? Now that I'm not ugly anymore, you can give me a digital clock dog? I don't think so, buddy. I could have just said, oh, no thanks. But I punched him. And when you punch a boy, you don't get in trouble because they don't tell anyone that they just got punched by a girl. I don't know why I did that. Anyway, you guys are wonderful. Until next time, have fun.